You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome to the Big Faith series, and welcome to everyone who's listening online. How exciting has it been over these last few weeks listening about these people that were ordinary people, but as they just allowed themselves to have faith in our great God, the miracles that took place, the blessings that took place, the life that took place because they activated their faith in our true living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Aren't you excited this morning? Aren't you excited this morning? Because you know what? Together we might just seem ordinary, but collectively under the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost, as we stand up and declare who our God is in faith, miracles are going to take place, healings are going to take place, breakthroughs are going to take place because of the great God that we serve. So on that note, I want us all to stand, because you and I together are going to read these two scriptures out. And I don't want you just to read it like, "Thus verily saith the Lord." I want you this morning to apply it to your own life, because it is the truth of God's word. Amen. Are you ready to join with me? Are you ready to say these words in faith and with declaration of who our God is? Are you ready? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Lord God, we just thank you as we come around your awesome word, your truth that sets us free. Lord God, we stand as candidates to walk in big faith, endure the race that you have given us with big faith in our hearts towards you, who directs us and leads us and guides us and who loves us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may take your seats. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? Isn't it good to be the church this morning? Not just ordinary people, but people filled with faith, waiting in expectation to what God is going to do. Let us run with endurance the race. The endurance, that sometimes sounds like an awful word. Patience, endurance. Why? Because you know our race is not a sprint. It is a marathon, and we all have our races to run. And you know what? We can do it this morning. You know, let us imagine, as we've been doing over these last few weeks, those people from those cloud of witnesses. If one of them was to step down from the packed stadium and come alongside you or me and begin to speak about their faith walk, what would they tell us? Just think for a moment. If Mary, the mother of Jesus, came up to you and started talking to you, what would she say held her throughout her faith journey? And what about her faith walk changed her and her family, so that you and I now can walk in faith the steps that she walked and see those same outcomes? But first, let's read a bit of her story and get some background information. If you've got your Bibles, you can look to the screens. Let's turn to Luke 1, verses 26 to 27. And it says this in the NLT: "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David." You know, Mary was just a young, humble girl living in an unimportant town called Nazareth. Nazareth was one of the poorest, most run-down cities of that region, and she didn't have any notoriety to speak of. She came from a poor but honourable family. Her family were descendants of Israel's greatest king, David, who I'm sure you've heard about. Mary was engaged to Joseph, which under Jewish practices of that time meant that there was an obligation of faithfulness and a divorce was required to break the engagement. So this was no casual promise that they had entered into. And on that particular day, being a teenager, she may have been potentially dreaming of her life with Joseph and never anticipating what was about to take place. If Mary was with you and I this morning, she would encourage us by saying, don't miss those moments when God speaks to you. You may have woken up this morning thinking, oh, I've just got to have my shower. I've got to just eat my breakfast. I've got to feed the dog. I've got to do all these other things, keep my children in line. Whatever your situation would have been this morning, let me tell you, Mary would encourage us, don't miss those God moments when he comes and speaks to you individually and encourages you on your faith journey. Whether it's through his word, I'm sure there's many times us as Christians have just been reading the word and suddenly something comes out and speaks into our lives and our hearts, and then we can use that word throughout the day because it's such an encouragement to us. Has anyone had that experience in their lives? Yes, no? Or by the Holy Spirit or those around us. I'm sure you have had those moments. And if not, let me encourage you, God is in the business of speaking to you because he loves you so much. Those sudden surprises, reading the Word of God, conversations with people, and something suddenly changes in the atmosphere and suddenly you know something is being said to you that is meant to be encouragement. And it's a prophetic word. Or when you're at home, or maybe even church this morning. You know, what could be our initial reactions when those moments take place? Could be surprised, could be, oh, this is different. Or is it like Mary when suddenly there's this angel standing before her and suddenly she's feeling fearful? You know, I always imagine the angels to be these really tall, big, strong-looking people, and I don't really know if that's what they are. That's always my image in my mind of this angel standing before this teenage girl. And there are times when we hear from God, which can make us feel uncertain or afraid, but always remember this morning that God is with you and his peace is with you. Like the angel said to her, do not be afraid. And this morning, don't you be afraid when God speaks to you, because it's always meant to bring encouragement. It's almost meant to bring life and hope to your situation. And like he said to Mary, is true for us today. But you know why? Because we are blessed and the Lord is with us. That is our truth this morning. We are blessed and the Lord is with us. And if you're unsure about that, read Ephesians. We are blessed and the Lord is with us this morning. And as we look in Luke 1, 28 to 33, it says this. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary would encourage us to invite those moments in and to be open to those moments. If you read it from the New King James Version, it says this, and having come in, the angel said to her. That indicates to me that she actually had to be willing and open to hear what the angel has said. It wasn't like he was standing outside and he was trying to yell at her, hey, Mary, I've got something to say. To me, it indicates she actually had to say, come in. I want to hear what you have to say to me. This is not a normal occurrence, an angel standing before me. I know that there is something in this. You've got to remember that even though she was a teenager, she was well-versed in the scriptures of that day because of the family that she had grown up in. And suddenly there's this angel before her. And I just think as a teenager, what a great example she is to us that she said, come in. I want to hear these words. I might be afraid, but I want to hear the words that you've got to say to me. Be open to those God moments. But not only that, let's be open to receive them this morning, what God is wanting to say. He had to come in and she allowed it. Thank goodness for that. You know, who has God sent to you this morning to speak words of faith and truth about who he is and what he can do in your life? Just think about that for a moment. Look, think about over your past. Who has God sent that has spoken into your life words of hope and truth and encouragement? As you ponder that, I'm just going to grab a drink of water. No, I can't. Unless this is it. Might freak me out a bit. And you. Thank you. Years ago, in my early 20s, I spent time with my youth pastor, Jane, who would speak into my life. We caught up maybe, you know, once every month or 2 months or something. You know what? I still remember a prophetic word that she gave me. And one of those, it was one of those moments, and over the years, I have never forgotten it. And I've also declared it many, many times over my life. I may have hid it in my heart. I may not have shared it with many people. But let me tell you, that word has come to pass. And I just declared it. I just spoke it over my life because I knew it was a word of encouragement. And I want to encourage you, when you get a prophetic word from someone, don't just go, oh, that was nice. Declare it every day or declare it when it comes to your mind. If it's something that you don't feel confident sharing, that's fine. Hide it in your heart, but still declare it because the Holy Spirit is with you and he will help you and guide you and lead you into all truth. And he will show you what to do in those situations. Don't miss the moments God speaks to you. Can you imagine this situation that she was in? You know, I don't know if you remember back to being a teenager, but I know that teenagers can be generally selfish. And I know as a teenager, I had my moments. I know you can't find that. I know you find that hard to believe, but I certainly did. One of them was, and I'm sure my wonderful sister can attest to this, I was very selfish and just wasn't very accommodating when it came to sharing my clothes with my lovely younger sister. I kept all my clothes to myself, as a selfish teenager does. And when she came to borrow them, which she sometimes did, her and I would then be on, it would be on for young and old. I'd be racing down the corridor trying to get my clothes off of her. But, you know, now I've come to understand that, you know, that was very selfish of me and I've become willing to share what I have. Aren't you lucky this morning? But here she is, Mary, a young teenager who is engaged, being told about this monumental thing that is about to take place in her life and by an angel no less. God gave Mary this amazing promise that wasn't believable in the natural. You can imagine the thoughts of doubt and unbelief that must have bombarded her mind. Thoughts like, how can this happen in the natural? How can I have a baby without a man? That's impossible. That defies the laws of nature. If she considered her circumstances, she certainly would have been tempted to give up. You've got to remember the times that she was living in. Not like today at all. Her being pregnant while being engaged would have brought shame and disgrace to her family and to the life of Joseph and his family as well. She would have faced the loss of reputation and ridicule. Joseph may have even been tempted to break off the engagement to her. And in that day, there was the possibility of stoning under the Mosaic law. So there was a lot for her as a teenage girl to take in of what this angel had declared to her. This was a big deal. This wasn't just any small thing. This was a monumental thing in her life. And in Luke 1, 34 to 38, it says this. Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Despite what could possibly happen to her, what was her response to the angel? Mary believed. Not only that, she believed that the promise would come to pass and was in agreement But she did have one question. How can this happen since I don't know a man? This morning, I want to encourage you, that was a logical question. But it was said in, but it wasn't said in a lack of faith. Mary's question was faith seeking understanding. Let our questions to God be faith seeking understanding. I actually trust in what you said to me, God. I believe in your word this morning. I believe in your truth this morning. But God, I come to you with faith in my heart, but just ask, how's it going to happen? I don't know a man. How's it going to happen? Faith seeking understanding. God is open to us seeking understanding when we come with faith in our hearts to the promises he has given us. In life's journeys, you and I will be faced with many questions, and sometimes we need the clarity and understanding to the promises, to the words that God has spoken to us. What do we need to do in this situation to activate what you have spoken? We need the how. You and I sometimes will need the how, the clarity and the understanding to know what God is wanting us to do. You know, this morning right now, you might actually have a how in your life. You might be thinking, God, I believe what you have said to me. I believe in the promises that you have given to me. But what now do I need to do? How am I going to get well? How am I going to get that breakthrough? How am I going to be set free from that situation? How am I going to see those things come to pass? And this morning, I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit will show you the how. Not maybe, but will show you the how. The Holy Spirit is not afraid of our questions. Let me encourage you this morning, the Holy Spirit is not afraid of our questions when we come to him with faith in our hearts because we're seeking direction or clarity or understanding. Certain he will give it to us because he wants to continue to lead us on the journey that he has for each one of us. He is not afraid of our questions. Aren't you glad for that? Do you remember in primary school when you had questions and sometimes were you one of those children that found it hard to put your hand up and say, oh, I've got a question, and you just waited for someone else to ask those questions? Let me encourage you. The Holy Spirit loves you so much, wants you to walk on the path that God has set for you, that he is not afraid of your questions when you come to him with faith, seeking understanding and clarity. Amen? What was angel's response to Mary's how? What he said to Mary is true for us today. This is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. What does this mean? It means that God is going to breathe into your life and supernatural things are going to happen. God is going to breathe into your life and supernatural things are going to happen. God, you've given me a promise. I'm needing understanding and clarity. What are you going to do? The Holy Spirit is going to breathe into your life and bring supernatural power so that you can have understanding to the things that God has in store for you. How do I know? Because it is the Holy Spirit's drive to create life from the void. It is the Holy Spirit's drive to create life from the void. The void is something that is or may appear empty. It's his purpose and his desire to create something that appears empty or is empty. Because he is a good God, because he is the God of breakthroughs, and because he is the God of miracles and healings. And in Genesis 1, 2 to 3, which most of us are really familiar with, it says in the New King James Version, the earth was without void. Form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Spirit of God was hovering. God started with the work of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit begins every work of creation or recreation. A quote from Spurgeon says like this, till that time, all was formless, empty, out of order, and in confusion. But in a word, it was chaos. And to make it into a thing of beauty, which we are now seeing around us in our world, even though it's a fallen world, it was needful that the movement of the Spirit of God should take place. It was needful for the Spirit of God to come and move in our lives. What was the Holy Spirit waiting for? He was waiting for the Word. He was waiting for the Word to be spoken. He was hovering. He was overshadowing the nothingness. He was brooding over the earth, overshadowing it, waiting for God to speak. He couldn't wait to hear the words from the Father so that he could create life. He couldn't wait to hear those words, "Let there be light," so he could create life. He can't wait for you and I declare words of faith and truth and hope so he can come and create life in our situations, so he can move into action so that he can create. There was a void and life was created. There was a void. The world needed a saviour and life was created. The Holy Spirit, God knew that we needed a Savior. So he allowed the Holy Spirit to come and do this, because you and I today stand in that promise, because you and I now have a Savior from the Holy Spirit coming and creating life. Can you imagine Mary as a teenager hearing all this and having some understanding of the Scriptures because of the way she'd been brought up? Maybe even recognizing, here I am about to give birth to the Savior from what the angel has said. You know, she saw Jesus as a little baby. She would have changed his nappies. She would have tried to feed him his vegetables. She would have seen him advance to a little boy, and then as he got older to a teenager, and then to a man, young man, and then an older man. And then she saw him on the cross, dying before her, recognizing that the Holy Spirit needed to create life because there was a void and you and I needed a Savior. But not only that, she needed a Savior. She needed a Savior. Even though she was the one that gave birth to Jesus, she saw him throughout all his life, but she also recognized that she needed a Savior, and she was open to the fact that she needed the Holy Spirit to come and create life where there was a void. And thank goodness that happened, because you and I walk in righteousness now because of that void that was filled by the Holy Spirit coming and creating life, so that you and I now can walk in salvation power and come into that relationship with Jesus Christ, because a void was there and the Holy Spirit created life in that situation. He couldn't help but overshadow so that life was created. What were the dry bones waiting for? They were waiting for the Word. In Ezekiel 37:34, it says this, "And he said to the man, Son of Man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." What can we do? We can prophesy to our promises. Hear the word of the Lord. No matter what your situation is, you can prophesy to your situation. You can prophesy the word of God into your life. If you are in confusion, prophesy. You can prophesy and say, God, I declare direction in my heart and in my life. If you are in chaos this morning, prophesy and say, God, I'm needing understanding and direction. If you are empty, prophesy and say, God, I'm needing your life that you've given me, and life to the full. Let's prophesy and bring action into our situations and seeing the word of God come to pass in our hearts and our lives. I know I've shared this before, but years ago, one of my friends from Adelaide, she decided that she just didn't want any more, she called it her no more empty cupboards. So there was things that God had promised her, and she's like, God, I want to see these things come to pass. So she decided to put in the action and prophecy of what God had spoken to her. So she cleared out a cupboard in her kitchen and removed things and got a whole heap of empty jars. And in each empty jar, she put something. So it might have been prophecy. There was obviously, she was wanting to get married at the time, so there was marriage. There was wisdom. There was understanding. All the things that she wanted God to bring to pass in her life in either a greater way. And she put those empty jars in there. And then every day as she opened the cupboard, she would say, Lord God, no more empty jars. I declare the truth of who you are in my life. I declare your word to be true. I declare those things will come to pass that you've given in my heart. And let me tell you, all those things came to pass. Why? Because she allowed the word of God to penetrate her heart. And she said, these dry bones in my life are needing the word of God, and I'm going to prophesy the truth of God's word into my life. And I can tell you now, she is married, been married, I think, for 15 years with two children, because God answers prayer. As you and I combine our faith with the truth of God's word, those things that he's promised will come to pass in the name of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit loves creating life where there's been a void, loves those things coming to pass in your heart and in your life. Prophesy this declaration into your life, which I'm sure you've already been doing, but let's continue to do this because it's our slogan for this year. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love. Oh, I'm sorry, Gateway Church. I'm not quite sure if I heard you. For God hasn't given us a spirit of, but of, and amen. That is for you this morning. God has given you power. I declare it into your life in the name of Jesus. God has given you love. I declare it into your life in the name of Jesus. God has given you a sound mind. I declare it in every person's heart and life in the name of Jesus. Not to be confused, not to be lacking in understanding and clarity, but a sound mind that is directed by the very words of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word this morning. Amen. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you like to create life out of chaos. Thank you, Lord God, that you like to create order out of our confusion. So let us be open to what he says to us in our journey. What was Mary's response to the angel? In verse 38 from the New King James Version, she said this, "Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word,' and the angel departed from her." Like Mary, let us declare who we are in Christ, and let it be according to your word. Words of faith and declaration. What would Mary say to us today? She would say that the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed me can and will overshadow you. God overshadows us still today. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," in Acts 1 and 8. The Greek words for the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary are the same words used for the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples, and the same for us today. The overshadowing presence of God that produces new life. The overshadowing presence of God that produces healings and breakthroughs. Jesus has come, and all who receive him can now walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, overshadowed by the life-changing glory of God. Lord God, I position myself for your overshadowing presence to come into my life. What would Mary say to us this morning, to us today? She would say, "Nothing is impossible with God." In Luke 1, 36 to 37, it says this, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." What did it say about Elizabeth in verse 38? It says that Elizabeth has also conceived, and she is now in her sixth month for her who was called barren. Notice it says that Elizabeth was called barren. And in Luke 1:7, it says this, speaking of Elizabeth and Zacharias, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. You know, in the natural, they had two strikes against them, barrenness and old age. Both you can't do anything about in the natural. But then no more, because the Spirit of God came and brought life into her situation. Her identity was changed. She was no longer known as that barren woman, no longer carrying that shame and guilt. She says in Luke 1, verses 25, "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." The Spirit of God came and brought life. Those around her had seen her as barren. She had seen herself as barren. Her husband had seen herself as barren. But God never saw her as barren. He saw her with life and life to the full. God came to give us life and life to the full. And that is how He sees us this morning, with people that are life and life to the full. For no word of God shall be powerless. God will absolutely perform what He has said. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He wants to bring life and joy. He wants to create miracles, breakthroughs, and healings. I look around this room and I see life and life to the full because of what God has done in us and how He sees us in our journeys. You know, each of us are on different journeys and there'll be ups and downs, but with the Spirit of God, there will be life. There will be life, because it's the truth of God's Word. There will be life. Be defined by what God's Word says about you. Let us be defined by what God says about each one of us. We are more than conquerors this morning. We are greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I am the apple of His eye. He knows how many hairs are on my head and on your head, some more than others, some less than others. But He knows us so well. Let us be defined this morning by what He says about us. No matter what has been used to describe you, whether you've been described as barren, whether you've been described as someone that just won't make it in this life, whether you've been described as someone who's unfruitful, whether you've been described as someone that is sick or hopeless, it is not going to define you anymore, because with God, nothing is impossible. Those statements don't define God and they will not define you in the name of Jesus. God is not surprised by what people have said about you in your past, because He knows the truth of who you are as we stand up in faith and say, "I am a child of God. I am blessed. I am favored. I know who I am. I am a more than a conqueror, and greater is He that is in me than he is in the world." Because that's the way God sees you. So let's activate our faith with the way God sees us and declare it over our situations. It's His church and we are His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against what God is going to do in the life of this church, in the life of Geelong, in the life of Australia, because it is His truth and it is His words. You and I can stand in confidence. This is His church and we are going to see miracles. We are going to see salvations. We're going to see breakthroughs, because God has come to create a life where there is a void. Is there a void in Geelong? Well, let me tell you, the workings of the Holy Spirit have been going on for a long time, because He is interested in creating life in Geelong and life in our situations, because God is a good God. So remember this morning as we come to a close, enjoy those God moments. Enjoy them, because God is so interested in talking to you. Enjoy those moments. If you need the hows answered, the Holy Spirit, I know, will come and speak to you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. And with God this morning, nothing is impossible. For no word of God shall be powerless. God will absolutely perform what He has said He will do. Amen? Amen. Let us stand. This morning, just as we go through this song again, I just want to encourage you, if anyone is needing direction, strength, or questions answered, if you've been waiting for a promise to come to pass, I tell you now, I have absolute faith and confidence in God. If He has said it, He will do it. I have absolute faith and confidence that if God has said it, He will do it. And just as your eyes are closed, I just want to pray this prayer over you. Holy Spirit, I declare that your amazing, life-giving presence will overshadow people this morning and speak life and hope and direction into their situations.